And I chose today, the title of the message is Making of a Spiritual Leader. Making of a Spiritual Leader. Even in our Bible college, our main ministry in the Bible college is to make a spiritual leader who will go and teach the Bible, teach the Word of God to the people, to their own people. And it is not only the Bible college students in our own life. All of us, we are developing as a spiritual leader in our homes. And Pastor was mentioning, in your college and school, in your workplace, we all can be that spiritual leader who is teaching the Word of God, sharing the Word of God to people. I want to take one example from the Bible, and he was such a man, and his name is Ezra. So we can open our Bible to the book of Ezra, book of Ezra, chapter 7, book of Ezra, chapter 7. This man Ezra, he was a priest and a scribe. He was a priest and a scribe. And the key verse is verse 10. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." So this is the making of a spiritual leader. See, Ezra, he set his mind, he resolved to study the Word of God and to do it. Once he studied and do it, then he is fit to teach it to the people. See, he first learned it in his head, then he obeyed it, and it went to his conviction level. It became his lifestyle, and then now he is a spiritual leader. He is preaching the word, teaching the word to Israel. And so this is the principle of spiritual leadership, is that we learn the Word of God, we obey the Word of God, and then now we teach the Word of God. So that is a three steps that we want to see. This man Ezra was called a ready scribe. In verse 6, you can read here, verse 6 it says, "This Ezra came up from Babylon." You know, the Israelite people were in exile. That means they were captured and they were in Babylon and under another king in another place. And one king came called Darius, and he changed his mind. He said, "Let these people go back to people, to go back to their own place, Israel." So he let them go. The first group of about 50,000 came with Zerubbabel, and they reached and they built the temple and so on and so forth. And then this is the second batch that is coming with Ezra. Ezra, he brought about 2,000 of them from Babylon to Israel, Jerusalem. They travel. It's about 900 miles, and it took 4 months. There was no vehicles, no car, no aeroplane, no train, nothing in those days, just walking as a caravan of people, about 2,000 people. So they came, and it took 4 months for them to come. And so this Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. He was a ready scribe or a skilled scribe. Scribe means those who are expert of law. Expert in the law of Moses, he studied and he obeyed, and he was become a very ready scribe. The ready scribe means he is ready to answer any question. I remember that when I was in university, I knew biochemistry so well. Any professor, any student, they could ask me anything, I knew it. So the friends, they used to call me, I was a, you know, living dictionary of biochemistry. You know, like anything in biochemistry, people can just catch me at the coffee table and ask, please explain this one, I will explain. And then please explain this one, I will explain. Please explain this one, I will explain. And like that. And I remember this word, ready scribe. That means Ezra was such a scribe, such an expert, that he was ready with an answer from the law of Moses. And you know, he studied the word of God, and he obeyed it. He was a ready scribe, who is the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests. The king allowed him to come to Israel with this group. According to the hand of the Lord, his God was upon him. God's hand was upon Ezra. God's hand was upon Ezra. That is why he could do what he did. And so it says, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He resolved his heart. So the resolution of the heart is very important. This man Ezra, even when, as he was growing up from a priestly line, and not only a priest but a scribe, you know, he set his mind. He prepared his mind. He resolved to study the Word of God. He said, my life's aim is going to be to study the Word of God. Not only to know the context, the language, the grammar, but also to do it, to transfer it from the head level to the heart level. He resolved. He said, I'm going to learn and know it, and then I'm going to obey it. Make it real in my life. Okay? Not only that I learned the things in the head level, but even in the heart level. I remember, you know, what it means when you are integrated with the Word of God. As a student, when I was studying my BSc, Bachelor of Science in Chemistry, chemistry is my, so to say, I like chemistry, like from beginning. And so I went to Shillong. Shillong is a great place where there are big and very excellent Catholic institutions. So I heard about one professor in chemistry. His name is Professor S.N. Pal. And he used to make songs of chemistry. You know, chemistry, those of you know, it's a very difficult subject. You forget. What you study, you forget. What you study, you forget. That's the kind of chemistry. And so he used to make songs and sing in his classroom, you know, and then people will remember. For example, I'm just like off somewhere, I'm just recalling. You know, bleaching powder? Bleaching powder, you use it for sanitizing and cleaning places. After cleaning a place, you put the bleaching powder so it becomes clean. Bleaching powder formula of bleaching powder is the most difficult formula that we students will forget. Okay? So he made a song out of it. Okay? So like he is calling somebody CA, okay? Bleaching powder is CA, that is calcium, OCl, oxychloride, and then another CL outside the parentheses. It is a really difficult. We just forget it. But he said, he made a song out of it. He says, CA, OCl, CL. He's like calling somebody, you know? CA, OCl, CL. Come. Like that. Okay? So like CA, OCl, CL. Oh, I never will forget it even on my deathbed. Just before my last breath, if you come and ask me, what's the formula of bleaching powder? CA, OCl, CL. Because he made like a song. And that is how this Professor S.N. Paul, he was just the most famous chemistry professor all over. So I went to that college to learn from him chemistry. But unfortunately, the year I went, he retired on that year. And I asked people, where is S.N. Paul? They said, he retired this year, sir. Oh, I am so sad. Then I'm always searching for S.N. Paul. And then people will tell me, you want to know S.N. Paul? Look at that elderly man walking there with an umbrella. That is S.N. Paul. Now, after his retirement, he's asked to lecture to the teacher's training college. So he goes and lectures. And I said, where does he stay? Oh, he stays in Malki. Oh, where is that place? Oh, there. And it so happened that that was near the place where I was renting and staying. So I went to this professor one Wednesday evening. I said, I knocked the door, and he came out. And he said, what's the matter? I said, sir, I am so-and-so. I am studying in St. Anthony's College, chemistry, and I want to learn chemistry from you. He said, no, I am retired. He said, no, I am retired. You go and learn from your professors. I am retired. I am resting now. I said, okay, sir, I just wanted to learn from you because I heard about you. And he said, where do you stay? And then I said, I stay down there, sir. He said, Dr. Sweat's house? I said, yeah, I rent a house, a room in the Dr. Sweat's house and stay there. Oh. He said, there is a boy there who, because Shillong is a very cold place, like now, okay? It's a very cold place, Shillong. And it's on the hilltop, and it's beautiful, like. That's why the British people, they came and made all the nice things in Shillong. So he said, down there, one boy comes out and brings out his small table and study. Who is that boy? I said, sir, that is me, because it's so cold, so I want the sun. So I will bring out my small table in the on the outside, and I'll study, and I'll go back. I'll cover my head and then study. He said, oh, you are that boy. I said, yes, sir. So you want to learn chemistry? I said, yes, sir. Okay, today is Wednesday. Next Wednesday, 4 p.m., you come. I will teach you. So I said, okay, sir. So I went. I was so happy. And next Wednesday, I went. And he said, what did they teach you last week? I said, this. And he just taught, and he just explained everything. And then every Wednesday, I used to go. And he also enjoyed my friendship. I also, because I was a learner, I was learning chemistry. And he was the storehouse of chemistry. And every time I will go, he said, what did they teach you? Oh, sir, he taught me like this. They taught like this. And he will just explain. And then next week again, next week. So one day I asked him, sir, chemistry is a very difficult subject. He said, yeah, it is very difficult. But whenever I ask you anything, you just explain without even looking at any book or anything. He's got books all around. But he said, I don't need that. I just explain. So he explained. And so I said, sir, how do you remember chemistry like this? Because it's a subject that we forget. He told me, my son, I taught chemistry for 40 years. He said, chemistry is flowing in my blood, he said. That was such a powerful statement, I still remember. He said, chemistry is flowing in my blood. I taught chemistry for 40 years. Chemistry is flowing in my blood. And I can see that in the life of Ezra. That he studied so well. It was all clear. And then it comes to his heart level. He was convinced. It was his conviction. And that word of God was flowing in his blood. Like Professor S.N. Pal said, chemistry is flowing in my blood. And in Ezra's blood was flowing the word of God. He was a ready scribe. He was ready to with anything in the law of God. And that is what he was. And in the book of Nehemiah, you will see that Mr. Ezra preaching. He read the word of God, and the people were so happy, and people celebrated. In Nehemiah chapter 8, people celebrated the word of God because it was explained by Ezra. See, Ezra read and studied the word of God that was written by Moses. Moses had come several thousands of years before Ezra. And they said the Hebrew language in which Moses wrote the Torah, the five books of the law, and now that after they have come from Babylon, they're after 70 years of exile, their language got mixed up. The people don't know the pure Hebrew that Moses wrote the Torah in. And so Ezra and all these people, his friends, they had to explain the word in the current language that the people understood. So he studied and he explained the word of God with his other friends, and the people celebrated. They said they all went home and ate good food. Nehemiah said, you go and enjoy today. And the people went and they said, we are going to enjoy, we're going to have a feast today, every house. Why? Because we understood the word of God. And that is how Ezra served the word of God, because he learned the word of God, he internalized the word of God, and that is how he became such a great teacher of the law of God. It was like Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ, when he was teaching, the people saw and they were amazed at what? Because he taught not like the other scribes and Pharisees, but what one like who had authority. So like Jesus Christ taught, Ezra taught the word of God because it was internalized in his life. Okay? And so seek the law. He prepared his heart. He prepared his heart. Preparation of our heart is very important. You know that. Preparation of our heart is very important. What you prepare to be. Some people set their mind, resolve to be humble people. Some people, they resolve their mind to be proud people. I will be proud. Nobody can touch me. Nobody can use me as I will not allow anyone to walk over me. I will not be used as a stepping carpet. You know, that we used to put it near the road, doormat, isn't it? And they tell me, I will not be doormat. I'll be proud. I won't allow anyone to touch me. They resolve. They resolve. And some people resolve to be selfish. They resolve. They prepare their mind. They have a picture of the mind where it's me. People resolve. People resolve to be proud. Resolve to be not taken advantage by anyone. People resolve to be humble. People resolve to be stiff. People resolve to be flexible. I have seen people, they resolve to be something. And we resolve, like Ezra, to be humble, to be flexible, to be available for the people, to live a other-centered life rather than a self-centered life. Self-centered life leads to loneliness. We in the ministry, I have seen now, I have been in the ministry for the last 22 years, and I am enjoying the ministry every day more and more and more and more, because I see as I live a other-centered life, people recognize and there is a flocking around. There is a recognition. There is a joy. As you serve the people, there is a bonding connection with the people and the leader. So in the making of the leader who has learned the Word of God, internalized the Word of God, is a changed person who doesn't live for himself but live for God. And there is a bonding. Just now, as I was coming, I'm staying in Granville, and I was coming from Granville this morning about 8:30, 8:15, and I was coming, my friend, he dropped me here. And as we were driving, I saw a lot of ducks, you know, many ducks, a big duck, small duck, and some are flying, some are running. And one man in a cart is driving, and all this about 100 at least ducks are there around. I said, my friend, what is that? He said, that man has come to feed the duck. He's going to feed the duck because all those ducks are around him, because the ducks know morning 8:30 comes our man with the cart and he's going to feed us food. So there is a connection, there is a bonding between the ducks and this guy on the cart. And I was just seeing, I said, yeah, that is what it is. When you are a spiritual leader and you serve the people, there is a bonding between you and the people. There is a bonding between you and the people. And unless that has happened, you do not taste spiritual leadership. We see that in the life of Paul. We will just I just said it, but then I will read the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the words of Paul, beautiful words of this kind of bonding that took place between Paul and the people. Paul and the people. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, I will read. Say, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Paul is telling to the Thessalonian believers that we were happy to impart to you not only the gospel, but our own lives. And that's what it becomes for a true spiritual leader. He doesn't only impart the gospel, the teaching, the Word of God, but also his own life. And I have seen that happen in my life as I was sharing about one man who is no more with us now. He's in heaven. His name is Paul Versulus. I think some of you will know. He only brought me to this church. It was Eastmoor Baptist Church in 1997 when I came first. He brought me to a prayer meeting, and then I met the people. And I preached, shared, and everything. And since that time, your church has been supporting, 1997. And I met Pastor Jeff, and since then, he's been also here, very stable. And Pastor Craig now newly come. Every time I come, I see them. They're kind of a stable figure. And Gary Nickel, I can see him, okay? Stable figure, and there are other friends. And this is, it's very nice. As we serve, there is a connection between the people and the leader. And that's what we see in the life of Ezra. And as he serves the people. And Paul, as he serves the people, he said, I could not just give you the gospel of God, but our own lives. Our own lives also we had to give. And that is a beautiful part of the ministry. As you serve people, they become your family members. They become the people whom you love. You become like father and mother and brother and sister. And it is a beautiful thing in ministry. And verse 19 and 20, I will read again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20 says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Paul says to Thessalonians, you are my glory, my pride, and my joy. If there is something in this world that I am proud of and I am joyful about, that is you. And that is what the making of a spiritual leader. A spiritual leader goes to that stage of giving himself to the Lord and to the people. And there is this bonding. Just now I saw about those ducks that came along around this person. And I can see, I have been serving in the same place for last 22 years, 1996 till now. And I can see the understanding and bonding with the people, with the students, with the staff and faculty, and the people in our area. People in our area, they know me. So they will invite me for this committee, this preaching, that preaching, and just love the relationship. I just love I just enjoy this relationship, you see? And that is what will happen when you become a spiritual leader, like Ezra, learning in the head level, going down, internalizing it to the heart level, becoming a conviction. The Word of God is your lifestyle, your conviction, and then you serve to people, and then you get these people, they become your crown and joy. And I'm really happy to be serving the Lord till now. And I hope till I die, I will serve the Lord. And it is just fun to serve the Lord and serve the Lord's people. Let's pray.